call to order the Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee. Before we start tonight's meeting, I'd like to read the Open Meetings. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised Statutes 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the director will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you. Forum call.
Fowler.
Here.
Brenwald. John Conley.
Here.
Jeff.
Here.
And
here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and second. Any session? Roll call.
John Conley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Hi. We have proof of publication of tonight's meeting. Item number six, review and recommendation on resolution to be considered at the 2017 NARD Annual Conference. John Wayne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attached for your review is the recommended resolution submitted by the Little Blue NRD. That's resolution 217-1. And the Tri-Basin NRD, which is resolution 217-2. The process is these are submitted to the NARD, and then they are voted on at the fall conference in Kearney by all the NRDs, and the representative is Rich Teaser for the district. And so those votes are cast, and if it passes with a majority vote, then we find a senator to actually support the resolution and to draft it into a bill that will be presented to the legislature in the next session. The first resolution is a natural disaster assistance funding through NEMA, and that is a change in statutory language that allows the Natural Resources Districts for the IPAs to apply for state funding and receive state funding. This isn't FEMA. This is the money that comes from the state. I think the governor has an emergency fund that this is basically taken from. Currently, those entities are not eligible for that funding, and that could be a rural water system that's managed by the NRD or one of our many project improvement areas that are based on not on tax funds but on assessed fees. So this would change that language to allow them to get disaster assistance. The second resolution is to make statutory changes to state rules and regs that will streamline and simplify the process of surface water rights leasing. And I believe the big issue there is being able to lease surface water for groundwater recharge. And there is certain areas of the state where a landowner will have surface water rights, but they also have their irrigating with groundwater. And so they might not necessarily be using those surface water rights, and so this will streamline that process to allow the leasing of that unused or unneeded surface water right. The recommendation is to support both resolutions as presented. There will be debate at the conference regarding each resolution. There may be modifications, but then that's up to the PAPIO NARD representative to, synthesize those changes if there are any, and to, again, vote yes or no. So, but again, the recommendation is to support.
Can we take each one of them separately?
Yeah, I would, please.
Motion on the first one?
Yes.
I move approval of staff recommendation on resolution 2017-1.
Second. Motion and a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to this item? Not hearing any directors. Roll call.
Jeff.
Yes.
Elder.
Yes.
John Conley.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Aye. Item number two.
Move for 2017 TAC 2.
Is that recommendation?
Yes, sir.
Have a second?
Second.
Second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to that item? Directors? Roll call.
Elder.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that completes it.
I don't think I can match your speed tonight.
Come on, John. You got to
try. I'm calling to order the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee. We have Tim Fowler filling in for Rich Teaser. And is Director Leahy going to be here?
No, no, he's out of shoes.
Director Jaff, would you fill in for Patrick Leahy?
I would be honored to.
Thank you.
You pass me up.
Okay. You copy of the Open Meeting Act, Nebraska Revised Statutes, is posted on the back of the room. You heard that read before, and we will follow the same procedure that was outlined for the previous subcommittee. With that, quorum call, please.
Fred Conley?
Here.
Patrick Leahy? Teaser? Ben Thompson?
Here.
Yeah.
Here.
Fowler?
Yes. Here.
And,
here. Next item is the adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Yeah.
Here.
Fowler?
Yes.
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Yes. I have here a proof of publication, an affidavit from that this meeting notice was published in the Omaha World Herald, and that will become part of the permanent records. Now we're moving ahead to item 6 is a review and recommendation on Amendment 8 of the engineering contract with Olson Associates for professional services for Pigeon Jones Site 12A. Terry Schumacher, please.
Good evening. I'm going to start by talking a little bit about the history of this engineering contract and the various amendments. Obviously, there's quite a bit of history. We've got some new members of the board that weren't here a year ago when the last amendment was done. The main body of the contract originally was for Pigeon Jones 15, which is Cramper Lake. And then phase three, we got to that point and added money for the 319 funds for NDEQ, which through that process, we completed PJ 16 and a weir structure above Cramper Lake and various amounts of other BMPs that were completed as part of the watershed. And then we had more. Another amendment, which covered the design of the recreation area. Then we had construction of the recreation area. And then a year ago in September, we moved with phase 7, which was to provide final design for Pigeon Jones 12. And at that point, I think everyone who was a party to this thought we were going to be able to construct that as proposed as a road structure. That was in the original plan. I know we had a meeting in the summer of 2016 up in Dakota County with the official from Dakota County, the two participating landowners, and everybody agreed that we would be able to get the necessary, the county and the landowners were going to work together on the right-of-way. Because it was a road structure, so the county needed to get the right-of-way. We really thought that was going to happen. So Olson's proceeded with the design as a contract was approved in September, at the September board meeting. Then we got to this spring, and it became somewhat apparent that there was some issues with the county getting the land right. Which we need to get a design for the landowners to see what the proposed impacts were going to be. And that led to the letter here. You want to scroll to that letter from the Dakota County? Bill, I think it should be the third page. Basically, from Scott Love, the chair, that says they weren't able to get the right-of-way needed for the project. And regret that this project did not move forward. So, at one of the meetings, that we had out on site with the county, Olson's, the two participating landowners, when things weren't looking like the county might not be able to acquire the necessary land rights, the downstream landowner suggests, well, could we move it down on my property? And if you look at the map, Bill, that shows a proposed site for 12A, like one more. One more page. Is that on? Oops. Well, whatever I'm doing is we're having technical difficulties here. I was hoping to use a pointer. The middle button? The big one? Oh, that one. Okay, the original 12, site 12, was proposed to be on 240th Street right here, which was going to be a road structure. That road is, the bridge has been out of service for quite a few years. It's a minimum maintenance road coming here and a minimum maintenance road there. So the county, quite honestly, didn't have a large incentive to, you know, see this project go through. And so the proposed site is down here, which is site 12A, we're calling it. One of the big things is we add about 1,000 drainage acres by moving downstream. And with that, you will see here we talk about PJ-12, 1960, and PJ-12A, right at 3,000 acres. The construction cost, because of the complexity of the road structure, that is roughly, with the engineer's estimate, about $260,000 higher, even though we've got more drainage acres in the site below. So if you go over to the last column, your cost per acre, you know, we end up with, as far as the goals of the watershed and what the intent is to control the upstream flows and capture sedimentation, we get a lot more bang for a buck by moving it downstream. Bill, can you scroll down a little bit? And there, this is where we talk about the sedimentation. You know, 50 years on PJ-12 is like 78.3. With 12A, we're looking at 120. So your cost per acre foot of storing that sediment and keeping it out of the downstream levee system, so we're not having to dredge that out, hopefully, near as often or at all, potentially. You know, it's quite a bit of difference. So that's kind of how we got to where we're at tonight. And I guess with that, you know, it's our recommendation that we approve this Phase 8 amendment to the PJ-15 contract in the amount, not to exceed amount of $179,122 to bring the overall project contract to a not to exceed amount of $2,443,975. And with that, we will entertain any questions.
Anyone in the public wish to speak to this item? First, let's get a motion on the floor, please.
I move a staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors?
I had a question.
Director Jeff.
Being as I am doing this, what is the total cost of this project so far? Any idea? Not just engineering, but what do we spend? What have we spent on this project so far?
On PJ-15 and...
The whole thing. We're approving additional money to these fine folks, bringing their total to almost $2.5 million pretty soon. But what have we spent on the entire project up there so far?
Okay, Cranford Lake itself was about $19 million. And I'm going to use round numbers. PJ-16 was $230,000. The Weir structure was about $114,000. And so we're, you know, $19.5 to $20 million.
And there,
we've made a large investment.
Certainly have. And I'm just curious how much percentage of the total investment is the engineering cost.
A lot of that's been due to because of delays, weather, and a lot of other things that have impacted this whole thing over the many years we've been working on this, and that's ballooned the cost a bit too. So it's you could throw some of that in there as well.
Right.
I forget what the original was. Just I'm not knowing anything.
You mean like the construction cost?
Yeah, because years ago when we first started this.
Well, the land rights is what we ended up taking on the. As far as costs on the main project, yeah.
So if you take the $20 million and $2.4 million total engineering, it's about 12%. Yeah. Really, fairly low.
Yeah.
I've got a question about the way we word these contracts. We seem to just keep adding money on. We never close out a phase. So if there's any money left, they just get to spend it with no oversight of limitation on the next phase. Why aren't we limiting the expenses on each phase?
Well, I mean, to be honest, we do. You know, I mean, there are still funds left in phase 7 that are unspent.
So if you'll look at the in the scope, I think they have the scope, right?
Yeah.
Each one of your phases in there will say say how much money was remaining. I have it open to phase 200, which is survey services. For this, we have anticipated fee of $14,000 and change. From the previous amendment, there's $8,500 left. So that brings this amendment down to $5,500. So that is being carried over.
Okay, thank you. Director Weiss.
Well, what would happen if if we chose just to say, well, why would we want to spend $2.5 million and just leave it alone? Why would we want to spend another $2.5 million on it anyway?
Well, first of all, we're only requesting, I mean, the $2.5 million has already, most of that's already been spent. So we're requesting an additional $179,122. Specifically okay, so for the Pigeon Jones 12A project.
So the 2.4 is already gone.
Well, not the whole thing. There's about 2.1 that has been spent.
Yeah, the 2.4 is actually including this.
Right.
Yeah, it's just been staggered out.
And this is a watershed with multiple projects. So this is just one of those. Now, another issue to consider, too, is if we did not find this alternate, this 12A, then all the money up until this point in time would have been wasted on 12. Because we did have expenses to design that and to engineer that, and it was not feasible. So those fees would have been wasted if, in fact, we did not find this alternative. So to not do this, then you've really wasted quite a bit of money on an option that's not available. And not any fault of our own. It's just it's not there. So we were lucky to find it, this one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If we look at it on the board now, phase 1, when we started this 10 years ago,
And then 2009, 10, 12, 13, 14. Mike, when are we not going to see you?
Yeah.
I mean, don't take that personal, but, sure. But at some point, this contract gets complete. And when is it nearing that point? Are we, I know there's a lot of colored marks on the map. A few, yeah. Can you tell me, you know, at some point in time, the white ones need to be done? I know there's the plan is a white one, 2110, 2017. This is going to be ongoing, so another 10 years from now, Mike, you're going to have gray hair, and both of you will, but I mean,
that's an idea. I think someone on the board asked this question about a year ago, maybe not the exact same question, is we hope to continue building these projects that are on the map. Now, how that's done, even from an engineering standpoint, we don't know today. In RCS, they've engineered, you know, a lot of those structures. They may be able to, they may not. If you know, a structure or project of this magnitude in RCS is not going to get involved.
Okay.
I mean, they're not, you know, they're just not going to do that. If it's more of a little earthen dam, you know, the typical farm pond sort of thing, well, yeah, then they get, you know, they can do that. Some of these sites are going to be potentially smaller. Some of them, if it goes to a high hazard classification, NRCS pretty much isn't going to design. Okay. So a couple of these in the future, depending on what's downstream that could be impacted. And I'll use Site 20, for example, which is directly above Cramper Lake. I mean, we've got the Jones Creek watershed over there on the right-hand corner, and then the Pigeon Jones is more here on the left side. Mm-hmm. You know, so we want to build them all, but I guess for me personally, I'm really, once we get done with this, I want to target like Site 20 and 17 because they are right above the Cramper Lake. And after being involved in this project for over 6 years now, what I don't want to see is the total sedimentation that we've seen in some of the lakes around the metro area. You know, so the more we can, you know, and there's a cost to doing that.
And it's, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have this open. It's a great tool to have available if, as we budget for future, which $179,000 is in this year's budget.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. So maybe a year or two, number 20 might be planned in the upcoming budgets as things develop. So it's not a bad thing, but it's kind of for the new board members get. Put you in no perspective as to how this got negotiated 10 years ago and how it might be another 5-10 years.
Right. And one thing for everyone on this board to keep this in mind when it comes to the schedule and getting things accomplished, besides Cramper Lake where we purchased the land, all these other projects in this watershed, we are asking for the landowner to give us a free easement to build and maintain these structures. So that presents its own set of challenges, trying to make everything fit to make everybody happy. And it does slow down the schedule. I mean,
thank you. I'd like to follow up on that, what you said about the voluntary landowners. Are we getting the cart ahead of the horse here when we're designing something other than very preliminarily before we get the land tied up?
That's a good question and a fair question. And Mike and I discussed this. You have to get your design, at least in preliminary, to a point where the landowners fully understand what the impacts are going to be. I have met with both of the landowners involved in this for a lengthy amount of time and showed them the proposal, and you know, all indications I get is yes, this will work. But I cannot sit here definitively tonight and say, you know, I have them sign on the dotted line, because I don't. But until we are able to provide them more information, which me as a landowner, I think that would be a question I would ask.
Okay.
Here's what concerns me, and this is what everybody's talking about here, is we spend a lot of money on engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I'm hearing here, is at what point do we pull back because we've spent so much money on engineering on something we're not sure we got yet anyway. So it doesn't make sense to me why we're putting the proverbial cart before the horse. Why are we spending millions of dollars on something we don't know if we can do?
Well, it goes back to, it's not millions of dollars direct to lease, because we have done projects with the $2.1 million we've spent so far.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so we're talking about this $179,000, you know. But we also know we have to be able to provide the landowners a certain amount of information on what the impacts are going to be, you know, and I think that is a fair scenario to them. I mean, I don't think anybody in this room would want me to come up and say, well, we want to build a dam, but we're not going to show you anything until you sign this easement. Is that okay?
There's a better way to do that.
Okay.
I mean, you don't have to. I understand what you're saying.
Right.
But you don't need to go spend millions and millions of dollars on something that you're not sure of. You can do a pre-plan and spend a fourth of that money. Do a pre-plan. Draw it out on a pre-plan. And you're not going to spend that much money. Just hear me out.
But just
hear me out, because this is people's money that's getting spent here. Okay? So we're spending a lot of money, and I think we can do some pre-planning here at a lot lesser money than what we're spending on something that we think we're going to be able to do, and we don't even know if we have a landowner that would agree. And I'll put myself in that position. If I'm a landowner and you come to me, you say, we would like to build a dam on your property. I'd say, okay, tell me about it. Take an hour and explain this to me. I could probably get more insight out of that hour by questions and answers than all of this. Just start it for preliminary.
Right. And the thing is, I have done that. Okay. I mean, I took the map here, you know, of the preliminary,
mm-hmm.
and I met with both the impacted landowners, the one guy out at his shop, the other guy in at the office. And answer a lot of questions back and forth. You know, it's there again, when you're asking for someone to give you something for free, you have to develop that relationship and answer those, you know, questions. And, you know, could we do this to make it so it doesn't impact me so much,
mm-hmm.
and still meet the NRD goals? I mean, you start having those what ifs and scenarios, so then I've got to get with Mike and say, well, could we do this? You know, so maybe, you know, maybe this emergency spillway doesn't have to be as big. You know, here it's drawn pretty big. Maybe, so then, you know, instead of impacting 10 acres with that, maybe you're only impacting 7. Well, that, you know, when ground buys at $7,000 an acre, you start talking about real money to the landowner. So, you know.
Well, as a landowner, I know what I want for that property anyway, before you even talk to me. So, I mean, if that's
but, what but I'm not trying to figure out. Money.
But here's the thing. First of all, you got to figure out that it's attainable. If it's not attainable, don't spend any money.
Yeah. Mike, of the 179-122, mm-hmm. it's for final design, permitting, and construction administration, right?
Yes. Now, this is additional on top of the money that's left over from,
I understand.
You have construction administration, all those in the last.
But if you had a landowner, Terry, that you've got, they're pretty much signed, but they haven't signed,
mm-hmm.
and they said, nah, you know, we change our mind.
you're not going to spend any money on permitting or construction administration for that project. So no money will be spent if they back out. But if they go over it, then we know we've got that budgeted and in place. So we're not spending anything until they sign on the line.
But what concerns me, and I've heard this a lot at the board, is that we put money out here, and there's a lot of money spent through engineering here. It's scary, scary amount of money when I look at the numbers. And I have a problem spending that kind of money on something we don't even know if it's going to work.
But there's a cost of doing business, and it's like when we put out the RFPs for the 60% on the reservoirs. We have to do that upfront work to know exactly what needs to be built and how much land we need before we can even intelligently talk to a landowner or ask them what we want. It's a little bit like going for surgery. There's a lot of prep work, and you have to do a lot of diagnostics, and you have to do a lot of planning.
But this kind of money.
So we're a little off topic, but out of curiosity to your concern, can anybody in the room, how many times when we've worked on projects like this, has it not worked out because of the landowner?
I mean, not very often.
Right. And that's...
I'll be honest with you. I'm more concerned about the taxpayer than the landowner.
Well, no, but if they're spending the money and your concern is we're spending the money and we're not getting anywhere with it,
right.
That's clearly not occurring, at least, or if it does, it's a far, far minority amount of the time. So is it a relevant issue or not is the question I'm throwing on the table.
It's just I wish we could be a little more conservative with what we do sometimes and not throw the dollars out there. You know, just say company ABC Engineering Group, you know, we've got $3 million. We'll do the study.
Now, as Jerry said, he has talked to both landowners, and these maps that I have in front of this scene, I believe, are pretty close. You know, preliminary modeling. I don't see the flood pools or the permanent pools changing much.
Mm-hmm.
They will change some as we get refine the models and that, but I believe this is pretty close to what you're going to end up with. Once we get a geotech and we figure out the auxiliary spillway width that we actually need, you know, it is going to change some. The footprint of the dam is going to change some. But, you know, if they are willing to look at this and say that this looks okay, when we refine it, it's not going to change a lot. It will change, but I don't believe it's going to change a lot.
Okay, just for example, the $179,000 says additional professional fees. What's that going to go to?
It's about, if I bring it up, I can tell you.
How much of that goes to the landowner?
Nothing.
Okay. No. Does it all go to the engineering group?
Yes.
Yeah. And for that, what do we get for that?
It's about $80,000 for a geotech investigation. I can look up there and tell you the exact number, but we need to go out there and find out what type of soils we have. In that area, we have a lot of dispersive soils and different stuff that needs to be taken into account. We need to know exactly where, how to go. The other is permitting. This site, permitting should be easier. We actually have the Corps of Engineers out there when we were looking at Site 12. And pretty close to his exact words were, I wish you guys would move this downstream because it'd be a lot easier. We're impacting about 140 feet less. The channel impact is at the road dam. We had a meander in there. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to mitigate the channel impact. Permitting, the big one, there's close to $60,000 for permitting. And then DNR permit and putting the plans together.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Butler?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Aye.
Yes. Thank you. Now we'll move on as soon as I can find the agenda. This is review and recommendation on U.S. Highway 34 bike and walking trail interlocal agreement. Eric Williams, please.
evening, everyone. I realized in talking to Director Jeff before the meeting that this says US 34. That's the same location as US 75. And so it's labeled in a way that NDOT indicated they'd like us to refer to US 34, but this is US 75 between Bellevue and Plattsmouth is the location we're talking about. And Bill, if you can pull up the last page of the memo, it's got the map. I think that's probably what we want to have up most of the time here. This is a project that's been in kind of a collaborative discussion for about the last 7 months. Six different local agencies. That would be Papillon, Missouri, NRD, Lower Platte South, cities of Bellevue, Plattsmouth, and then counties of Cass and Sarpy, have all been working together with both MAPA and the Nebraska Department of Transportation on completion of a trail over the Platte River on existing piers running parallel to what we've been asked to call US 34. The two highways run on top of each other there, so the name they use is the lower number. So US 34 is a divided bridge over the Platte River between Bellevue and Plattsmouth, and you can see on the east half of the existing bridge, which is the two northbound lanes, the piers were widened outside of the width of the road surface bridge when it was constructed in about 2000 to include additional width on the pier so that a trail could be constructed at a future time. The complexity of building piers in the Platte River is tremendous, and at the time, all of these same partners, including what was then Department of Roads, took some forethought and widened those piers out so that the future trail could be constructed. However, there wasn't enough dedication by all of the partners to get the trail built then, and so now, about 15 years later, we've come back together, and everybody wants to see this happen because additional work is going on the surface of the road right now, and this is the time to get this project completed. Department of Transportation is resurfacing and doing some other upgrades to the northbound lanes right now, and that means that the two northbound lanes are closed and all traffic is on the west half of the bridge, so it's just one in one lane on the west physical structure here. And so while the bridge is closed, you'd be able to drive the large equipment needed onto the bridge in order to place the girders for the substructure under the trail. About 5 months, 6 months ago when we started this, we realized that this is the only opportunity to get that equipment on the bridge and get this portion of the construction completed. So the initial version of this was to attempt to get the entire bridge built at the same time. Since then, that's a more challenging project because it's both the structure on the piers and then also the trail surface, which will include some additional work on the ends. And so the proposal that's listed here refers to phase one and phase two. Phase one is being entirely completed, designed and constructed by NDOT, all of it all together. At the beginning of this discussion, NDOT was actually not involved in any of the financing, any of the design, or any of the construction. The upgrade of the road surface will transition this road from what's called an expressway, like West Dodge Expressway, up to a higher level of service, which is a freeway. And when that transition happens, you will no longer be legally allowed to ride a bicycle or walk on the side of a freeway. And so they would be terminating an existing access for active transportation, which something like requires them to provide a new access to make up for it. So they, in realizing that, became much more interested in participating in this project and seeing it completed at what is about the only time when we can do this. So initially they were going to participate in phase one. That world expanded. For simplicity's sake, they are now going to design and construct the girders across the piers over the Platte River as they're doing their construction with the road resurfacing. HDR has been working on the design for the girders, and then there would be a change order into the construction contract to have the girders placed starting in about February of this coming winter. Most of what the rest of the six local partners have been doing is discussing the completion of phase two. And so, Bill, if you can go back to the first page, the memo. The table here gives a breakdown of the expected costs for phase two. Phase one, the expected total cost of the project is about $4 million. In phase one, NDOT will pay for roughly $2 million is the expected cost. They will pay for the design and construction, and then at a later date, MAPA has agreed to reimburse 50% of the cost. I'm sorry, not reimburse, allocate a portion of their funding to a project of NDOT's choosing. There's not reimbursement. They asked us to change that word in the document also. But they will allocate half of the cost of phase one towards a project of NDOT's choosing, essentially paying for half of phase one. But again, there's no local cost in phase one for any of the six partner agencies. And right there, that is a tremendous accomplishment by all of the people who have been in the room for these meetings about every 3 or 4 weeks for the last 8 months to have NDOT take a step like that. They have traditionally not been such a willing and collaborative partner as they are now in this project. And so this is a big step forward. They got that T from they went from the Nebraska Department of Roads over to transportation. And right away, here we are, just a couple months later, with a big project that demonstrates commitment to comprehensive transportation. So what we see here is the proposed funding for phase two. The top line indicates applying for 80% cost share from MAPA. That's roughly the same funding source that they'll use for the phase one contribution. But we would apply for the Transportation Alternatives Program this coming December for 80-20 cost share. And then the 20% would be divided down to the six local partners to pay for phase two construction. So that's what's shown here, is that phase two is expected to be about $2 million, 80% of that coming from the MAPA allocated federal funding, 20% of that coming from the six local partners. In the phase two portion, the district would be the project sponsor with NDOT. We would apply for that 80% funding. We would then administer all of the project through phase two. And then we would take on and be the what they refer to as the bridge owner after the project is complete. And this agreement that we've got here today also includes an ongoing operations and maintenance exhibit that includes all of these six parties contributing towards kind of the day-to-day operations and maintenance, as well as the potential for future ongoing operations and maintenance. The cities and counties under that agreement would do the trail surface clearing, so the expected regular maintenance would be potentially sweeping if there's debris on the trail, picking things up and removing them, and then snow or ice clearing in the winter. The design of this project would be wide enough for a truck to drive a blade down and just blade the snow off so the trail would be open in the winter. So essentially what we've got here is an agreement for the future funding on phase two, as well as the ongoing operations and maintenance. And all of that is required by NDOT and MAPA before they move to construction on phase one. So we've allocated something, or we've indicated something in the future, and all of the parties are agreeing to fund that project. It's just that NDOT won't move to the purchase of the girders and the final installation of the girders without a commitment from the local parties that we are prepared to put in our funding to see the completion of the project in the future. And we expect that timeline to be about 3 to 5 years. Some of those details need to be worked out as we do the application to MAPA for what funding they have available on the 80%. That timeline of the availability of their funding will drive the completion of the phase two trail surface, and when the bridge project would actually be completed. So it's kind of a complicated project overall, but it is an opportunity that we literally would not have again. Once they complete the road service and it upgrades to freeway, NDOT will not be closing the two northbound lanes again, basically for any condition. So the only opportunity to get the equipment out needed to place the girders is while they're doing the road resurfacing, which is from, I think, the beginning of August now until the end of the construction season next year, so about November. And this is the one chance. So it's extremely impressive that all of the parties have been so committed to these meetings, discussing the funding, taking over operations and maintenance responsibility, and seeing this regionally transformative project be completed. It's great that, so, you know, relatively quickly, 15 years of basically no action, and then in about 8 months, everybody came together and said, we are committed to this. We want to see this happen. What do we need to do? Let's move it forward. So we are the first agency to see this document in a board review, and then all five of the other agencies will be reviewing this over the next roughly 4 weeks to approve their commitment to seeing this completed. And after the first week of October, NDOT would then essentially move forward with phase one, and the construction would begin in about January or February.
I wholeheartedly recommend staff recommendation.
Move staff recommendation. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Okay. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Directors? Good to see you. Director Larry Bradley.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering, you say Papio, Missouri contribute $200,000 on phase
right.
two, and Lower Platte $40,000, and if we're, you know, sell you a bridge, you know, I just wonder how come we're not 50-50 in that?
We base some of the funding on these types of projects on the Trails Assistance Program guidelines. This isn't within that Trails Assistance Program technically, but what we offer is 50% of the local cost of the projects in that program. And so a lot of times when we come to these types of projects, that's where we base our contribution. We are doing a lot of the administrative work because we have the most experience in the trail project. So being the project sponsor is also part of the duty that we're taking on through the construction phase. We then aren't doing the day-to-day operations because this is kind of physically removed from some of the other places. So we have kind of traded some of that. We'll take on a little more of the responsibility up front in exchange for others taking on some of the responsibility later. And the two cities and two counties will be doing the day-to-day maintenance stuff. That's just kind of how we got to the scope of what we've got outlined here.
I can assure you this number didn't start that way 8 months ago. It was much higher. In fact, it was probably millions, and then it ended up about $400,000, and then we ended up through $200,000. So in appealing to Director Weiss as conservative, we didn't bite the first apple. And so we said, okay, here's what we're willing to negotiate. I think it was like they wanted us to do 50% of the launch, and we said no. And so we got it negotiated down to a reasonable 25%. And so that's just part of the negotiation, working with the partners, say we want to see this done, but we're not an open checkbook, and everybody's going to pony up. And so that's where all the partners came together, and that's how we got there.
I've got a question for you, Eric. We've got the length of the bridge. We've got a trail that basically stops on the bank of the Platte River.
Yep.
It's a trail to nowhere. What are we going to do next?
So phase one is only the girders, and there are 14 piers, and so we'll only be spanning the piers. It won't actually touch down on either side of the river in the phase one construction. Phase two would be putting the trail deck, so the stringers and then the concrete surface, as well as the railings on both sides, on top of the existing girders, as well as building abutments on each bank of the river. We attempted to have all of it complete at the same time, but the existing environmental review on the roadway resurfacing would not have covered abutment construction on the bank, on or outside of the banks of the river. And so that's why we weren't able to talk NDOT into doing the entire project all at one time. So there will be environmental review on the phase two portion for the abutment construction on each edge of the river. And then as you can see here, this runs from what in federal and state funding terms is called a logical termini, meaning an existing public access location where people walking and people biking could get to the trail. And so on the north side, you can see Allied Road is a gravel road, and people can ride to there easily, much more easily than on US 3475. And then on the south side, there is access on Beach Road, which then kind of follows and connects down through Schilling Drive and goes towards Plattsmith. So the Phase 1 project is only the girders. Phase 2 is the construction of the trail, which would allow, by local county road gravel surface access, a continuous route. In the future, both sides do plan to construct connecting trails to wider trail networks, but we haven't indicated that in the Phase 1, Phase 2 discussion because we would like to keep focused and not expand what would potentially be under that environmental review guideline in the phase two portion. So it is just from one logical termini on the south at Beach Road to another one on the north, and that is the entirety of the project. Let's not get distracted in the federal and state review on the environmental stuff outside of that area.
And when are we going to see the bids for phase two work, or are we going to see them?
We had an engineering company do a kind of a rough estimate to get to that $4 million number, and then after phase one is complete, in December we expect to submit for the 80% funding. That would go into MAPPA's TIP in next July. After that time, we'll know when that funding, that 80% funding, would become available. We can do what's called advanced construction. So we can choose to do some of the environmental review, preliminary design, conceptual design, before the funding is available, and seek reimbursement. So we could start some of that as soon as probably our next fiscal year, and then move to final design and construction in future years when that funding is available. So probably in about 2 years, we would expect to see some, two or three years when we go to the construction bidding is when we would have an exact number. But even at 30% plans, we would probably have a construction estimate based on where we were on the trail surface. The rough number now that we've used for that $4 million was kind of per square foot of bridge deck estimate, not anything more detailed, but a pretty conservative, and we think we'll be under this number. So we should be in pretty good shape.
Thank you. Other questions or comments? Director Lees.
I got one question on that, and I'm hoping, I think it's a good project, and so don't get me wrong with what I'm going to say, but the phase one is all the bridge work, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Are we going to be sure that everybody's going to go for a phase two?
That's what this agreement is for. NDOT okay. will not proceed with phase one unless we all sign this agreement committing to make sure that we see phase two completed.
Okay.
And there is some clause in the Exhibit A that indicates if after a particular amount of time phase two is not completed, there would be responsibility back to NDOT for the work that they had already put in.
We'd have an awful wide bridge if phase two didn't work.
Yeah. So, yes. So this is kind of a very long timeline because before we can move forward on phase one, we have to all agree that we will definitely move forward in phase two, even though that's a few years out, which is outside of all of these agencies' annual budgeting cycle. So we're all committing now that when it comes to it, we will be ready for the phase two funding.
Do you feel phase two is in the bag?
Yes. This is a very good project. The MAPPA funding is something that we've applied for in the past. We've talked with MAPPA. Greg Ewell, the executive director, has been very supportive. Both in phase one on that 50% allocation and then in indicating that phase two would be a highly prioritized project. This is what's called a regionally transformative project. There are literally no other options to get between these two locations. And so in even a wider view in the what's called the MINK, Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, very large-scale regional trail planning that Park Service is doing, this project is basically one of those keystone pieces that in any kind of analysis of importance of the trail would score extremely highly because there is no other way to get across. The next dedicated crossing would be the Lead Bridge, which is something like 8 miles upstream and completely inviable to say that you could use that as an alternative crossing. So this will score very well when they evaluate it for the MAPPA funding, and everybody's very committed to seeing that completed.
What you just said is tremendous. Whatever elixir you're serving at these meetings with Department of Transportation, keep the recipe.
Yeah.
15 years, we've been struggling, wrestling. Federal money is available for projects, trail projects, and basically no one in Nebraska has submitted, except MAPPA took that role on within the last 2 years, right, because we couldn't get anywhere down in Lincoln. Now, just this year, Department of Roads has been changed to Department of Transportation. This is incredible that this is happening right now, and I'm very, very proud to be part of it, and I hope we have a unanimous vote on this board to say, look, as you just said, a keystone to what we can do as transportation within a bike, and then no one's going to be walking up from Plasmid to Omaha, but maybe they will, who knows, we'll have 5Ks, 20Ks, whatever they are, but anyways, I'm very proud to be part of this, and I think we're the first ones. Are we the first ones to approve this?
Yes.
So when we hopefully approve it Thursday, things will be falling in place, and it's wonderful. It's great, and thank you for all the work you've done and adding this scientific statements that you did tonight. It's pretty cool. But thanks.
Yep. Other questions or comments?
One short one. Yes. In the event, and it's not going to happen according to you, that MAPPA doesn't come through with the funding, the whole thing goes away.
The girder order will have been
right.
placed.
So we will
come up with an answer to see phase two completed. And that's what all of the parties are committing to here. So the MAPPA funding application is once a year. The Transportation Alternatives Program, the same acronym we use for trails, but the Transportation Alternatives Program has about $1.1 million of annually allocated funding. So this will probably mean that we apply for that and then recommend a transfer over to the Surface Transportation Funding Program, which is a much larger pot of money. So it's and the all of these agencies attend the, both the TTAC meetings and are members of the MAPA board, essentially. So everybody is already aware. So as it comes up for additional review at the first TAP, PROSCOM, TTAC, and MAPA board, all of the partners will be there to speak in support of everything we've done so far. So yes, we are committed to seeing it done. If anything were to change in the 80% federal allocation on phase two, I mean, the first thing we would do, we would reapply, we would try again, and we would, I mean, we would make sure that that allocation goes to this, because it is a very, it would score very, very highly compared to any other projects that would be eligible for that funding. So, we will continue after that funding until it's accomplished.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments, roll call on the motion, please.
Fowler?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Eric
Conley?
Yes.
And
Chairman? Yes. Thank you, Eric. Now we're moving ahead to review and recommendation on the West Papio Trail. This is Giles to Millard Road. This is a construction interlocal agreement with Omaha and the City of La Vista. Eric, again, please.
So this is another kind of regionally significant trail. A couple years ago, we completed the West Papio Trail segment from 90th over to 96th and over to 108th and Giles, which you can see down at the bottom portion of the map here. This is following on the West Papio Trail kind of regional alignment study that was done back in 2012. That section was about 2 miles. This is 2.7 miles in additional extension. So it picks up where the existing trail stops on the southwest corner of 108th and Giles. It goes under Giles Road. It goes over the Hill Creek Bridge, which the district, La Vista, and Omaha have just completed stabilization on. It goes under the BNSF Railroad as we're moving north. It goes under Harrison Street, under the interstate, and then follows Harry Anderson Ave all the way up to the south side of Q Street, just east of 132nd. This is all following the old railroad corridor, the UP railroad corridor, through some of our planning, this is the original transcontinental railroad corridor that the district purchased specifically for a rails-to-trails program project, and that was done in about 2010 for this purpose, and now we're moving forward on finishing the concept that was laid out when the land was acquired, and that's to get the trail designed and constructed. The design work is already at 100%. We've been working on that for about the last year with Big Money Workshop as the prime design firm and JEO as the structural subconsultant. So there are a couple additional components outside of just the trail here. Right where the number 2 is on the map, that's a golf course. It's a City of Omaha golf course. And there's kind of an unnamed creek. We call it Oak Hills Creek coming through the golf course, which then comes under Harry Anderson Ave and under an old rail bridge and down into the West Papio. That rail bridge is quite destabilized and will need to be either significantly reconstructed or potentially even removed and replaced based on what comes back in the bid. But that's a kind of a significant portion of this overall project. Like I said, we've already completed the reconstruction of the Hell Creek Bridge. That was an emergency need about 2 years ago. That stabilized the interceptor sewer as well as protected all of La Vista from Hell Creek unraveling. So we move forward on that outside of the trail project. The Oak Hills Creek project is a part of the trail project because it's not quite as destabilized, and it makes more sense to have the same contract to do that work at the same time. So like I said, we had an interlocal with Omaha and La Vista on the design portion of this project. As we got through with the final plans, we now have an estimate on the total construction cost. The plan is to do the bidding in October and have the construction contract here in November for review and approval, with then the timeline being winter tree clearing and beginning the trail construction in spring, essentially as soon as it's warm, of 2018, with trail construction completion to be about about fall of 2018. Again, depends on what bids we get back as to what the timeline for the construction becomes, but it is to have it all done before the end of 2018, before the construction season is over. This, again, is a continuation of the West Papio Trail, one of the three main branches of the big trail system. Just on the very upper left portion of the map, you can see kind of a diagonal yellow streak. That's Millard Ave. And so there is about a four-block gap between what is the south portion of the West Papio Trail and the north portion of the West Papio Trail, which goes from behind Hobby Lobby all the way up to almost towards Dam Site 15A, or Flanagan Rec area. So this will join the two halves together, and most importantly, will provide a dedicated active transportation and recreation connection under the interstate, which doesn't currently exist. There are, when you encounter big obstacles like that, just like the Platte River that we just talked about, going under the interstate is one of those key points that if we don't cross under the interstate here, there basically aren't other options. There's no other way to get a trail connection under the interstate. That just can't feasibly be done. So this is already an existing underpass location. We purchased the land. We went through all the design. We're ready for construction, and by the end of next year, we'd have the trail open and ready for public use. So this agreement, based on the design work that we've done, has come up with the same funding allocation that we used in the design portion that Omaha and La Vista have agreed to back at the beginning of this process. And the interlocal would just stipulate the funding contribution for the construction portion for the district, and then Omaha and La Vista. We are expecting this to be, and it's in the budget now, split over two fiscal years for all three of those agencies. So half of it essentially in our fiscal 18, the portion of the construction that's done before July 1st, and then the other half to be done after July 1st, and then reimbursement requested from Omaha and La Vista in their fiscal 19. They're a few months behind us on that calendar. So two fiscal years for all three of the agencies to keep the cost a little more reasonable and a little more manageable for budgeting purposes. But this agreement just stipulates the financial contributions. We'd go to the bidding, and then we'd go to construction.
I move the staff recommendation.
Is there a second, please?
Second.
I have a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Being not directors.
Yeah.
Director Thompson.
Eric, it would be helpful if you could put up a bigger trail map, if we got one, so we can see how this fits in the bigger scheme of things.
Right now?
Yeah. Because we're going to vote on it pretty soon.
From the district's page, I think you can pull the trail map on the right.
Yeah, the impact for that.
Okay, scroll down. Let's see. Recreation, recreation right there in the middle. Sorry, I didn't have that ready. And scroll straight down the middle, and you'll find trails map. Lower a little more. There you go. Let's see. Nope, sorry, more. There, download an updated map. Yep.
And are we close to updating the map? Oh. 3 years ago.
yes, this map, it says updated map, and you can see the name of the document is 2014. There's some funding from MAPA to help pay for the cost of the updated 2017 version of the Paths of Discovery map. So yes, we are in the process of updating the print version of the map also.
That little one isn't going to show it, is it?
No. I mean, yeah, very well.
No, it's that you can see Little Papio and Big Papio on that map. You could try Google and just turn on the trails. I mean, we can find it if you want to see it.
All right.
Well, you admit, from going, we got the, going, I guess, south, southwest, and then this connects it to. So
the West Papio does run all the way. It connects to the Bellevue Loop first, and then what's called the Keystone down south of 36th Street, and then follows West Papio Creek all the way over to 108th. Picks up, continues all the way north toward toward Dam Site 15A. We work with the SID up there to get, they applied for a trails assistance program funding to get the trail up to Dam Site 15A. So once 15A is open and the trail there is connected into the West Papio, it'll be about 32 miles of continuous trail connecting to 15A. And then we'll work, Zerinsky is connected to West Papio. Chalco will eventually come up with some kind of connection over to West Papio. Prairie Queen, Walnut Creek, and the other one down at 6 and 7, and then the other one down there that I can't think of right now.
And when we bought this land, I think about 4 years ago from the UP, it was a significant purchase, and it was it was leading up to today.
Correct.
This week, I guess. And again, it's one of the long-term things. It didn't happen overnight. We didn't invest some money all at once. We couldn't.
Right.
Stretching this out over a year's period. When we built the South Omaha Trail connecting east-west, this was part of the master plan, if you will,
right,
to connect it diagonally to the other. We're getting close, aren't we?
Okay, that dotted line is the West Papio there. It's a little bit older, but and you can see the section that's not dotted. It's solid from just east of the thick line is 144th Street. So that's the West Papio Trail north segment.
So you got your little thing there.
Okay, so here's the interstate. Here is Millard Ave is at an angle, 45 degrees roughly. This section of West Papio is constructed. Here's 15A. So when the trail gets connected up to 15A and then runs down here, there's about a three-block gap right here, and then it'll continue down, meet the Keystone, Bellevue Loop, and back around the Missouri River. So from 15A all the way to the end of the Bellevue Loop is about 32 miles, and it connects to seven different recreation areas. So regionally significant, it's kind of an understatement for how important West Papio will be in the recreation.
And that's kind of my point. It is, when you look at the big picture, which is a lot bigger than we saw in our book, it is significant. I think it's a well-deserved investment in our transportation within the metro area.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just based on a previous discussion, I think it's something that's worth bringing up for the board to consider. Trails obviously are supported. I've not heard a single taxpayer, anybody I've ever talked to, say anything bad about the trails. They're good. I would agree. I think this is a great project. I think it comes down to a matter of priorities. When we look at the NRD share of $2.25 million over the next 2 years, it makes me wonder, and is this the best place for that money to be spent in the situation where we currently have out for bid six potential dam sites where we know land acquisition is going to be a huge cost. And at about $50,000 an acre, we'd be getting about 45 acres out of this with that $2.25 million that would go toward the trails. And I think it's the questions between the nice to have and the need to have. And where do we fit as a district as far as priorities and mission between flood protection and water quantity problems and issues compared to recreation. Again, I think this project is fantastic, but I think it would be good for the board to discuss this a bit more, see where the priorities lie. And that's all I have to say. I just want to throw that perspective out there.
Director Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I will consider Director Klug's words. But I also think of, you know, quality of life issues, a little bit of history, rails to trails. I remember as I grew up in the inner city of Omaha, those railroads used to be a place where homeless, runaways, if you wanted to go undetected from the law to go from point A to point B, that was where you went. You went along those rails. But I know folks who did, and really, seriously. And so now they, it's not about Field Club, the golf, that railroad, you used to go right through there, and those train tracks, now they're trails. But, it's quality of life for a lot of, and bring back, I guess, for, the inner city neighborhoods and so forth. Now, this isn't quite inner city, if you ask me. This is somewhat, but it would be, I think, a good project, very much considering. But the other thing that come to my mind, and this is getting a little bit off the point here, and forgive me, but I seen a new map, I think it was by Omaha by Design, but don't completely quote me, and it had all these trails on it, but it didn't say a peep about Missouri NRD. And we have our 2014 one, but I don't know if anybody knows about this new map that's out there. Here we are, don't we partner with them? And here with this, it'll be, we're partnering with Omaha. They're going to get 20% of the covering the cost of this. And it occurred to me a little bit about who's this, who are these people putting out this, you know, map on the trail.
The bike commuter map, and I've attended the meetings, the planning meetings for that map. It's more focused on kind of the street level transportation on one side, and then the backside does show a regional view with the trails. We are listed as one of the partner or sponsoring agencies of the regional bike commuting system on the backside of that map.
That'd be super fine print. I don't think
I don't think it's a logo. I think
they've been in here. Haven't they? Excuse me. I don't mean to interrupt here. Okay. Haven't they been here asking us for contributions to their projects? That group, and then, you know, when they put out this big map, I would think they'd give us more credit than what they did. I mean, you'd have to look with a magnifying glass to find wherever, if you're telling me, we're listed there somewhere. Before. I'll remember that in the future.
Our logo is big on our map.
Any other questions or comments? Yeah, Director Thompson.
Yeah, just in response to Director Pug, does look like a lot of money. It's in the budget for this year, and upcoming budget. When we get to the final designs of these six sites, that's a couple fiscal years away by the time we start allocating money for that. And we're planning it and so on. We have to. We've made an investment. I think it's $1 million we've paid for this land. And I don't know how much for the design. And it's significant. And if we don't build it, how do we answer to our constituents? What if we just got vacant land there? Why don't we connect it? I keep hearing it all the time. Thank you for advocating the South Omaha Trail, for example, the Field Club Trail, Larry mentioned. But here we got an opportunity to connect a major connection in our transportation system of life in the metropolitan area, and I don't think we need to delay it any further.
Director Clue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up to that. I'm not suggesting we abandon the project. I think it's a good project. I just don't know if right now, in the financial situation that we're in with and with the projects that are coming up, if it's the best place for the money to go and something to where we could shift it to the watershed fund and carry it over and use it for those projects later, for the bigger projects, for the lakes and such.
Other questions or comments? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Austin?
Yes.
Hi.
Yep. Yes.
Fowler?
Yes. No. One more item.
Yep. So lots of partnerships tonight. This one is for there's two different items on this one. Both are for the same topic. A Section 22, which is called the Planning Assistance to States study with the Army Corps of Engineers, and this study would be a kind of a more in-depth look at all of the stream bed stability across the entire Papio Creek watershed. So we know that there are significant destabilization issues in a number of places around the metro area through the entire watershed, but we don't know specifically what the issues are or what should be prioritized. Within areas that have been channelized and are maintained by the levees or the graded and maintained slopes, we have a pretty good idea of what's going on, and we do maintenance in those locations. There are other major tributaries and other smaller creeks that threaten other infrastructure, but where we don't really know exactly what the problems are or how we should best address them. So the Corps of Engineers offers a 50-50 cost share for them to complete a study through this Section 22 program. And so three different agencies essentially are on the local side of this one. The Corps of Engineers would be they would complete the study and provide half the funding. And then if you scroll down here, here's the funding breakdown on this one. The Papio Watershed Partnership would fund $50,000, up to $50,000, the district up to $25,000, and the City of Omaha $25,000, toward a comprehensive look at stream bed stability across the entire watershed. So the Platte River Trail that we talked about, this is two phases. Phase one is relatively smaller. essentially figuring out what are the resources we have available now. There's been two previous looks at stream bed stability, maybe about 15 and 20 years ago, but we don't have good, real good survey data, and things have changed as the watershed has developed over the last 15 or 20 years. So identifying where are locations that infrastructure is threatened, what are the best ways to stabilize those different tributaries, creeks, and what priorities should we put on those. One good example is the Hell Creek project that was referenced in the last one. That was a partnership with La Vista and Omaha. The district owned the land because we purchased it for the trail function as well as a bridge over Hell Creek. And so we wanted to stabilize and protect the bridge. Omaha wanted to stabilize Hell Creek because about 40 feet upstream in Hell Creek is the major, I think it's a 96-inch trunk line interceptor sewer, which if Hell Creek became destabilized, that sewer would almost immediately become threatened and would require very expensive repair work. And La Vista wanted to protect against the bottom of Hell Creek unraveling over that 18-foot drop at the Hell Creek Bridge that we stabilized. So that's an example of the type of collaborative project that comes from analyzing different creeks, figuring out where the problems are, and how we can protect existing infrastructure and avoid future potential costs. City of Omaha has talked to us about Thomas Creek, which runs from the Irvington exit roughly down into the Little Papio, kind of north north-central Omaha. They have some exposed infrastructure there, and there has never really been a comprehensive look at what's going on here, why is this so destabilized, what are the best recommended solutions. So this type of study would look at all of the watershed, identify which places are priority, and then figure out how we can start moving toward addressing those things over the kind of long-term future for comprehensive watershed stream stability. Again, this is, we'll start with phase one. The indication there, of the, that's the total funding expected for phase one and phase two. If you look into the attachments, the first attachment is the agreement from the Corps of Engineers. They write the essentially the contract. And so it's an 8-page contract that we would sign with the Corps to complete the study. After that is a 2-page scope of work for the study, and it's quite brief. It just indicates identifying existing resources and then basically setting up the scope for the larger Phase 2 study work. And then the second appendix there is the kind of estimated cost that we expect that would be needed during Phase 1. So the Corps would be completing some work, staff from the district, myself and others potentially, as well as staff from Omaha would complete some work and document those hours as in-kind contribution to this project. And then we would contribute some cash back to the Corps of Engineers for work that they completed in excess of the in-kind contribution that we had. So that roughly the total scope there is about $20,000. $20,000 from the Corps, $14,000 in in-kind from Omaha and the district, and then about $3,000 of cash to keep that balance at about 50-50. That would then lead to what kind of comprehensive survey, design work, other engineering calculations are needed across the entire watershed, and that would be the Phase 2 agreement. So when we have the Phase 2 scope completed, out of phase one, we would then bring that back for additional review and approval to make sure that as we go forward with the larger comprehensive study of the entire watershed, we have an idea again on the scope of work that will be completed and the expected cost. So phase one is what the agreement is signed, we're asking to sign tonight. And again, that's essentially some in-kind hours as well as the roughly $3,000 cash contributed now.
Chair, I'd entertain a motion on this item.
Actually, we need to a motion and approval or vote on item A, and then a separate motion and a vote on item B. So the item A is the planning assistance to state's agreement, and then item B is the interlocal agreement with the City of Omaha.
Yeah.
So if you could take those separately, if that would be.
All right.
Yeah. And
you want to read item A, Eric?
Please. Yes. Item A is management recommends that the subcommittee recommend to the board that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed planning assistance to state agreement with the Department of Army with the district cost for phase one and phase two of the stream bed degradation study not to exceed $25,000, subject to changes deemed necessary by general manager and approval as to form by district leader.
Thank you. Chair to entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? Roll call.
Greg Conley?
Aye.
Jeff?
Yes.
Butler?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
And Sherman?
Yes. And Eric, you want to read the second motion?
Yep, and so the last portion of the attachment is an interlocal with the City of Omaha. They had provided, when we began this work back in February, they provided a letter of support indicating that they would contribute $25,000, but that does not authorize them to actually provide reimbursement when we request it. They need some kind of a contractual agreement that they would reference when they spend their funding. So the interlocal just stipulates the funding contribution from the district and the funding contribution from the City of Omaha, as well as requests from the Corps that we both verify that we will document our in-kind hours and submit that documentation to them for their review at the completion of Phase 1 and then again at the completion of Phase 2. So it's some small logistics that allow us to both pledge to document the in-kind hours and report to the Corps and then allow Omaha to provide the reimbursement that they've written a letter of support for. They need a legal document to authorize them to provide that funding when we request it in about 6 months. So, I recommend to the board that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed interlocal with the City of Omaha for the U.S. ACE Section 22 stream bed degradation study, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as deformed by district legal counsel.
We have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Directors? Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Greg Conley?
All right.
And Sherman?
Yes. I believe that concludes our agenda. We are adjourned. You guys want to take a break before you go into FPL?
You need one?
I'm going to take one.
Yeah, all right. We'll take 5 minutes,
Rick.
With your legal subcommittee. Rich Teaser is obviously got his shoes absent out here. Item 2, Notification Open Meetings Act post announcement. Was read before. It's on the back of the meeting room as well. Quorum call, please.
Bradley?
Here.
Brad Conley?
Here.
Todd Conley?
Here.
Meese?
Here. Here. Adoption agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Todd Conley?
Yes.
Brad Conley?
All right.
Meese?
Here.
Bradley?
Yes.
Yes. Item 5, proof publication. I have here for the record. Item 6, review and recommendation adoption of the fiscal year 2018 budget and set the property tax levy. John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The district received final valuations from the county clerk's offices. The final numbers are on the memo as follows. Sarpy County 6.84% increase, Douglas 4.39%, Washington was 0.24%. Dodge was a negative 8.97, Burt was 0.78, and Thurston was 1.24. Dakota was 2.18, which was a total of 4.59%, or a total valuation of $62,772,761,403. The proposed tax levy will be set at 0.037797, which is a decrease from last year. Total tax requirement is $23,726,441. Which is an overall increase of $898,430 from last year's total tax requirement. The tax levy comparison would be at fiscal year 17 for a $100,000 home would be $38.03 for the year, and fiscal year 2018 would be $37.80 for a year for a $100,000 property. I included a budget fact sheet, which lists some not only the district population, but the tax levy and our total budget requirements and levy requirements from past fiscal years. This will be 12 out of 13 years that we've either lowered our mill levy or kept our mill levy the same. Again, we've discussed some budget challenges. Obviously, you know, we had the earlier conversation about engineering fees and those types of upfront fees. State and federal regulations play a big part in that, especially permitting environmental reviews, as Eric stated, during the trail. You get into these long, drawn-out. We've been involved in the 408 permitting process with the Missouri River levees for 7 years now, and just had a meeting with the colonel today, and we're trying to get that finally wrapped up this fall. So as you can see, that adds a tremendous amount of time, effort, and, of course, that calculates into money. So a lot of that is we are still we have to deal with these, not only increased costs for maintenance materials, we have increased costs for insurance, employees' wages, liability insurance, infrastructure maintenance. Obviously, as our dams and levees age, they need additional care. This year's budget funds the minimum of operations of the districts and meets our pre-approved obligations that are written in contracts, purchase agreements, interlocal agreements, as well as meets the statutory obligations of the NRCD system. And those are listed behind me if anyone ever needs to get a refresher on what those are. Again, we are requesting a reduction in the mill levy. In the next fact sheet is the proposed budget. Total operating budget is $66.7 million, which is a decrease from last year as well. The budget meets all LID requirements. The different categories are broken out as far as erosion control, water quality, recreation, forestry and wildlife, watershed fund, and flood control. The pie chart is the next part of the budget. And we did a comparison from 2014 until this year. And just comparing what our budget expenditures were over that time. For example, in 2014, we spent 68% of our budget on flood control, and now we're right at 57%. Recreation has stayed pretty consistent over the years, from a 5% low in 14 to a high of 9% in 16, and now we're at 7%. General administration has went from around 13%, and it jumped to 16% for a couple years, and now it just went up 1% this year, so it's kind of on that consistent path. The other categories are pretty much stable over that particular time frame. Erosion and water quality had a high in 2015 at 10% of the budget, and now it's right around 7% for the last couple fiscal years. So we just wanted to go back and see where we are and where we've been, and we've stayed pretty consistent, a few percentage points here and there as far as where our expenditures are going. The over 90% of the district's revenue comes from Sarpy and Douglas counties. And we're seeing this across the state as the ag economy contracts and you're starting to see lower commodity prices. Obviously, valuations of farmland has started to decrease. Some counties have had negative valuation increases this year, and it's really obviously the ag economy that's making that correction from the highs that we've seen in the previous years. There was 12, 15% increases in previous years. Now you're seeing that start to reflective of the contraction of that ag economy. So now our urban cores are starting to see a larger share of the overall tax burden as they're picking up the difference. And that's reflected in the Sarpy and the Douglas valuation increases compared to the other parts of the district. This budget is generally the same as last year, obviously with a decrease in the levy. It's generally the same as the previous budgets that we discussed in July and August. We do have changes. They're highlighted in yellow. I will briefly go through those just so you have an idea of what they were. Page 3, attorney's fees. We had some late invoices from last year that we need to pay this year, and we obviously have some unforeseen legal action by directors and maybe by employees that we need to beef up the legal expenditure, so we've done that. Page 4, office equipment. We added $3,000 for an additional replacement of a server in the Dakota County field office. We didn't anticipate that, and that kind of snuck up with us before the final budget presentation. Page 9, Thompson Creek land rights, $3,200. There was crop damages from final grading that we are required to pay. We will pay those. Page 12. Missouri River levy interest income, and that was an adjustment from the interest that we have on that particular checking account, and that was added. Page 13, dam maintenance, professional services, increase to PJ15 wetland monitoring of $3,700 from the last budget. Then page 16, urban conservation, change of $30,000. That was carryover for a bioretention omitted from the previous drafts of the budget. I believe that was Metro Community College. Page 18, Lower Platte River Corridor Alliance. We received the final numbers from the Alliance, and those decreased by $16,641, and that's actually will be our contribution to the Alliance as we finish up before that becomes obsolete. Page 22, Elkhorn Crossing contract work, parking lot expansion. We added $42,000. This was something that we wanted to do at the beginning, and we had to kind of eliminate that from the budget to fit within the levy that we thought we would have or the increase. And so we added that back. And it's really become a safety issue there with the tubers and tankers. The vendors, those areas are just being stretched to the max. And so we've had conflicts between, people trying to access the river and people camping. And so we're trying to get it so both interests can utilize the facilities. And so that's why we have the parking lot expansion in there. And also page 24, a parking lot expansion like the Waterloo rec area, same thing, high volume of use. And it's good. I mean, the people are getting on, they're using these facilities. Except we just have conflicts. We don't have enough room. And so we're trying to get room where people can actually access those sites and use those sites. And if we stop people from vandalizing them, they will stay open a lot longer too. So page 25, West Papio Trails increased to $82,000 for both La Vista and Omaha. And we decreased the $100,000 for the Highway 34 Bridge Trail, as Eric explained in that presentation. Page 29 is the watershed state grants. This was an adjustment to the Water Sustainability Fund of $2,313,500 less based upon what we believe the work would be completed this fiscal year. And then that obviously affected the watershed ending cash. That was changed to less $347,400. Page 30, WP5 Professional Services.
John, can you just explain that in just a little more detail?
Which one?
The change, page 29.
Sure.
What exactly is happening there again?
We adjusted I think the original draft we put in a whole $6.7 million or whatever of that fund. Well, there's no way that we're going to do all that work and reimburse for that whole fund. So what we did is we figured what we could feasibly get done this year and what we will get back from the state.
Okay.
And so it's less than $6.7 million. So that additional money that we won't get this year, we'll request next year.
Okay.
And so that'll
we'll
be like
it will show up again.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We're not going to lose it. We just won't use it all this year. So it's just a more accurate interpretation of what we're going to do. So on page 30, $25,000 for WP5 Professional Services. That's to finish the operations and maintenance manual for that facility. And then on page 31, we deducted $200,000. That's the update for the construction scheduling. We also deducted $1.8 million for the updated construction scheduling as well on page 31. And then on page 32, WP1 Professional Services. That was the update. It's $58,000 added. That was update based on remaining contract amounts. And you'll see on page 33 on page 33, Dam Site 7 Professional Services, $10,900 was added. That was updated based on the remaining contract amounts for that particular project. On page 36, Washington County Rural Water Cash on Hand, we actually had the figures from a CD balance, and that was added $2,286. And then the page 36, Washington County Rural Water System, we added $135,935. And that was a reclassified required bond and interest reserves separately from operating reserves. And then page 36, we changed same account, Washington County Rural Water, changed the projected ending cash balance based on the above information from the previous two. Thurston County Rural Water cash on hand, page 37, updated the actual CD balance in there. And then again, we had to change the projected end cash balance on that due to the activity of the CD. And then also we have the page 38, Dakota County Rural Water System. Again, CD balance that was confirmed. And then again, we had to change the ending balance on the above on page 38 to reflect the $2,389 due to the additional CD. So those are the only changes. I mean, they look long, but most of them were just accounting and I guess, more detailed estimate of where we think that we would be on particular projects. So other than that, it's similar. It's pretty much the exact same as what was presented in August, except for those things that were highlighted in yellow. So I'd be glad to answer any questions or any comments, or if you need any additional information. But that is the proposed budget.
Thank you, John. And on the board, you see management recommendation to the committee to the board on the following resolutions be adopted. Rather than reading them all, certainly it's apparent what it is. I assume we want one and two separately?
I believe we'll do that at the board meeting. You can do that lumped in the subcommittee meeting, because we'll have two separate public hearings at the board meeting. We'll have one for the budget and then one to set the tax levy. So those actions will require separate votes of the board, but one's fine. That's okay.
Okay, but you want
I want to. We want a motion to approve or recommend to approve to the full board. Then. But okay. You don't have to break them out separately. We'll do that at the
okay. Board. So moved. Second. All right. Anyone from the general public who should comment on this?
Directors. I had one. Who does the auditing as far as what company audits?
That is Orizon.
Orizon? Yes. They've been doing it year after year?
They've had it the last 5 years. Right, so seven, yes. And in fact, they're doing it right now, and they'll present it in November, draft in November, and then final in December.
Every 5 years, we go through the
process. Yeah, we agree.
Well, just I remember for Director Japp's edification, there was before was it Horizon. There was somebody else who had been for a while.
Yeah.
And Bland. It was a little battle, but we changed. And so my opinion was not to get too comfortable with the auditors. And so, but they'll be doing their best to try to get another 5 years after the 10, when that'll come up, you know, just remember that.
All right, any other comments?
Yes, sir.
Roll call.
Here.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes. Item 7. We are adjourned.
Adjourned.